All right, 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 16. These are God's words. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, "Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And Yahweh said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.' Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before Yahweh, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, 'You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you,' thinking, 'David cannot come in here.' Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. Now David said on that day, 'Whoever climbs up by way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul, he shall be chief and captain.' Therefore, they say, 'The blind and the lame shall not come into the house.' Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the millow and inward. So David went on and became great, and Yahweh, God of hosts, was with him. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons. And they built David a house. So David knew that Yahweh had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he had come from Hebron. Also more sons and daughters were born to David. Now these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shemua, Shabbat, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Netheg, Yafia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, we know that David reigned 6 years in Hebron and over just Judah, which means a year and a half over all of Israel from Hebron. So the taking of Jerusalem from the Jebusites isn't exactly the same time as what's going on in verses 1 through 5. And verses 11 through 12, Hiram was only king of Tyre for the last 10 years or so of David's reign. So the Holy Spirit is giving us here little snippets from several different times. All of them, however, showing God strengthening David's kingship and David's kingdom, and especially God keeping promises that he has made. Not sure we can go back all the way to Genesis 2. But this language of "we are your bone and we are your flesh" sounds a lot like Adam and Eve and the son of the woman that we're waiting for and who is going to come through King David. And 2 Samuel is going there pretty quickly after David's victories and the bringing back of the ark. We're going to go into 2 Samuel 7 where David tells Nathan that he wants to build God a house. Nathan says, "Do whatever's in your heart." And then Nathan goes home and, I think it's Nathan or is it Samuel? It might be Samuel. No, it's Nathan. And Nathan goes home and God's like, "Nope, go back and tell him you're not going to build the house. I'm going to build you a house." And he makes David the promise that from his household will come the forever king. Who's the forever king, Ezekiel?
Jesus.
Jesus is the forever king, that's right. And so the promises of Jesus, the forever king, are are really, I was going to say in the background, but it really comes into the foreground in 2 Samuel 7. And so it's not surprising that they might be referring to the woman and the seed of the woman and looking forward to Christ in verse 1. Although it is certainly something that the Lord is doing for David, for 7 years, 11 tribes had not acknowledged David as king. They were his bone and his flesh the whole time. They didn't just now suddenly remember that when Saul was king, he was the one who had led Israel out and brought them in. And they didn't just now remember that God had anointed him to be shepherd over Israel. Seemed to be something that everybody knew, even Amalekites, who are resident aliens in Israel. So the things that they're giving as the reasons aren't really the reasons. God has brought them by his providence to the place where they are accepting David and as their king after 7 years of trying not to. God is solidifying the kingship, the kingdom of David, because God is bringing into the world another 1,000 years from this time. God is bringing into the world the kingship and the kingdom of his son, our Lord Jesus. That's also what's behind verse 6. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites. Now, the Jebusites thought that Jerusalem was so naturally protected, and it is. It's got these very steep ravines down on multiple sides. Very, very difficult to attack, very easy to defend. And so they said, the blind and the lame will repel you. And so David nicknamed the Jebusites the blind and the lame for the rest of their existence. And he was able to take it anyway. And we learn here, of course, not to be proud. But the name Jebusite pricks up our ears because if we go back to Genesis chapter 12, I believe. Ooh, my vision is not good right now. No. Genesis 15. Genesis 12, of course, is the all the families of the earth. We'll talk about Genesis 12 when we get to Hiram, king of Tyre. But if you remember back to Genesis 15, and verse 19 and following, I think, or 18 and following. On the same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given your land. And then the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and this tiny little clan that lives on one hill, the Jebusites. Why would the tiny little clan that lives on one hill be named among the other major Canaanite nations there in Genesis 15? It's because that clan happened to be sitting on the hill that is going to become the stronghold of Zion, the city of David, Jerusalem. There, not only will the Davidic kingdom be established, but there outside the city, the King of Kings would give himself for our sins. When we finally come and meet the Jebusites in 2 Samuel 5, verse 6, we say, aha, this is progressing from the promise in Genesis 15 to the fulfillment of the promise at the cross of Calvary when Jesus, the great king, would die for us. Well, having mentioned Genesis chapter 12, you remember that God told Abraham that, or Abram at that time, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 12, Genesis 12, verses 2 and verse 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is part of the golden age of Israel starting now. Israel has not been that powerful. They've cleared the land, but They come into great prominence during the reign of David, and that's part of, or Hiram, king of Tyre, and his service of them is part of it. He was blessing, being blessed by blessing the reign of David, and then later even the reign of Solomon as well. But there are, you know, great big promises about Christ in Genesis 2 and Genesis 15 and Genesis 12 that are behind all of this. And we see why he's so needed. Because even David, even the man after God's own heart, our hearts sink within us when we read verse 13, and David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he had come from Hebron. We remember back to chapter 3, and he had already taken multiple wives when he was in Hebron, and he moves to Jerusalem and he takes even more. And then it says, these are the names of the sons. Sons and daughters were born to him. Now these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem. And it gives us a list. And right in the middle of the list is Solomon. And we know that Solomon was the son of Bathsheba. And we are starting to think now about how, yes, God is going to establish David's kingdom. And there are these great big promises about the coming of the Lord Jesus that are coming in the next few chapters, but very quickly after that, it's going to be the time when the kings go out to war, and David is going to be at home in his palace, and he's going to get up from a nap in the afternoon, and he's going to commit adultery, and he's going to commit murder, and then the rest of 2 Samuel is the horrible consequences of David's sin. And so we see in that even David could commit sin like that and bring consequences like those, how badly we need Jesus to come, how badly we need the seed of the woman to come crush the serpent's head, how badly we need the one who is going to establish his kingdom by dying and rising again in Jerusalem, how badly we need him to come, in whom all the families of the earth will be blessed, including our own family, as he is our king who crushed the serpent's head in our place. How badly we need Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we dare not trust ourselves the way the Jebusites trusted themselves, especially for fighting against sin or the removal of guilt, for both of which we really can do nothing ourselves. And we dare not trust in anyone else but Christ, however good they may be, for even one like David has the capacity for adultery and murder, even late in his walk of faith with you. And so we thank you that we see behind this chapter the promise and the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus destroying the devil and establishing his kingdom and winning blessing for all who are his from all over, from every nation in earth. And we desperately need him, and so we thank you that you loved us, that you planned to send him, that you did send him, that he finished his earthly work, that he's reigning right now in glory. And we pray that you would bless to us to our trusting in him by your Spirit, that he would stir up our faith, and that he would give us all that you have provided for us in Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.